everybody, welcome to another episode of the Plus Tech Podcast. And for today, I'm your host, Awe Siocho. In the spirit of cybersecurity awareness, well, as a form of introduction, October is known as the month for cybersecurity awareness. And so, as a gift from all of us here at the Plus Tech Podcast, we've decided to educate you, our esteemed listeners, on the Cyber Crimes Prohibition Prevention ETC Act, also known as the Cyber Crime Act of 2015. But before then, we're going to look at what existed prior to the coming of the act, some salient provisions of this act, loopholes, and, you know, recommendations, right? So I'm going to start with a story. In 2002-2003, during President Olusegun Obasanjo's tenure, there was this 73-year-old retiree in Czech who had purchased a laptop or was gifted a laptop by his son and logged in, created a Facebook account and started making friends, right? So there was this particular friend he made who was the Central Bank of Nigeria, the governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria, in quotes. And then they began chatting until they got to a point where they were talking on the phone, and this CBN governor introduced this retiree to a business. He said there was an investment and he wanted them to go into a partnership and all that. And I mean, the man was retired and looking for where to invest his savings, and he agreed. And then this fraudster, also known as the CBN governor, kept calling him to ask for money, ask for funds. And you know, ordinarily this man should have asked what's up, or he should have at least sensed that something was going on. But then I feel like he didn't ask, because at that time people were not really aware of cyber fraud and internet fraud as we are now. So he kept giving him the money until he drained all his savings. And after that, he tried to reach him, but he couldn't. His numbers couldn't go through. He wasn't replying his messages. I think he had even deactivated his Facebook account, I can't recall properly. And then he walked to the Nigerian embassy there in Czech, and he told them, oh, I've been talking to your governor, your CBN governor, and we are business partners. I've been trying to reach him, and unfortunately, his phone has been switched off and I've not been able to, you know, talk to him. And then the people at the embassy now sensed that this man must have been defrauded by the popular 419 fraudsters, as they are known. And then they reached out to senior authorities, investigations were carried out, and then it was discovered that he was defrauded. I mean, his entire life saving, this man was so devastated. However, he maintained a relationship at the embassy there in Czech, until he even made a friend, Nigerian friend, who worked there, and he would come once in a while and they would chat. And then there was this day he woke up, picked up a loaded gun, went to the embassy and shot his Nigerian friend. I mean, when news got to President Olusegun Obasanjo, he was, you know, mad, and he was like, we have to do something about these guys before they finish us all. And then that was when he established the Nigerian Cyber Crime Working Group was established, and they were saddled with the responsibility of coming up with a bill, a cyber crime bill, that would focus on ensuring that these cyber criminals, these internet fraudsters, are well taken care of, you know, are dealt with, sorry, not taken care of, I mean, in that sense, but they are seriously dealt with and they face the consequences. Okay. And then, okay, so this group was saddled with the responsibility of bringing up this bill, right, that would establish a cyber crime law in Nigeria. Let me note that before this incident, right, before this murder, this story that I just told you, before it happened, there was the National Policy for Information Technology in 2001. And this policy recognized the importance of enacting the right laws, you know, to tackle cyber crimes and protect online business transactions. So that was actually the first attempt before other meetings and then committees started coming up, and then there were several bills, and we had so many bills before the coming of the Cyber Crimes Act in 2015. Now, before the coming of this act, you would wonder what then were our law enforcement agencies using to prosecute criminals. Well, we had the Advanced Fee Fraud Act of 2006. We also had the EFCC Act. We had other criminal code laws and penal code laws that criminalized fraud. But, you know, they didn't really treat the illness that was cybercrime. It's just like when you have malaria, right? And then you have symptoms of malaria, which most times include headache and body pains. And then you take Panadol. Panadol relieves you of the initial headache, of that pain that you feel. But it does not go as far as treating malaria, the malaria itself. And that was what was happening. Yes, we had laws that criminalized fraud, theft, you know. But then there was a need to have a pill for cyber fraud and cyber crime incidences in the country. And that pill came in the form of the Cyber Crimes Act of 2015. Okay, so we're going to look at some provisions of this beautiful act that came to our rescue, right? But for the purpose of time and efficiency, because I don't want us to look at provisions that we may never, we're going to encounter them, but then I want us to look at things that are common around us that people do not even know constitute cyber crime. And the first thing is cyber squatting. That was what I meant to say, cyber squatting. So cyber squatting simply means registering, selling, or using a domain name, right, with an intent of profiting from the goodwill of someone else's trademark. Let me give you an example. What people do, what this entails, is that sometimes there are people who look at some businesses and they're like, oh, this business is going to blow very soon. They have prospects. So how about we just purchase a domain name using this business's trademark? And then in the future, because they'll be in need of it, because we've seen that they are going to grow, right? And there's going to come a time when they will need this. Then we can sell it to them at an exorbitant price. So that's cyber squatting. Simplicity. In the simplest form that I can explain to you, and I hope you understand. Section 25 of the Cyber Crime Act criminalizes cyber squatting. And whoever is found guilty shall be liable on conviction to imprisonment for a term not more than 2 years, or a fine not more than 5 million naira, or both imprisonment and fine. So guys, please, if you know that you engage in this, please just, you know, be aware that it's a crime in Nigerian law, the Cyber Crime Act, and you're actually committing a crime, and you could be penalized, or you would be whenever you're caught. So just be aware. So the next provision we're going to look at is Section 23 of the Cyber Crime Act criminalizes child pornography and other related offenses. Now, because of how things are changing and technology is developing, I've seen before, situations where children make videos of themselves and using smartphones. I've seen one of a child who, if I can recall well, that girl was up to 10. Yeah, but she should have been between the ages of 8 to 10 and, well, made some videos. And then people began to circulate it until, well, I saw it somewhere. And I'm like, why? If you're one of the people who spread these videos, you are committing an offense under the Cybercrime Act. A serious one for that matter. Child pornography is something that the Cyber Crime Act has taken very seriously, because we have very different levels of punishment for people who engage in this act. So I'm going to read the provision, Section 23 sub 1. provides that any person who intentionally uses any computer system or network in or for a producing child pornography, offering or making available child pornography, distributing or transmitting child pornography. This one, this C, please don't be guilty. I know that this is something that many people be guilty of, right? This sub one, paragraph C, distributing or transmitting child pornography, procuring child pornography for oneself or for another person, which is sick, by the way, possessing child pornography in a computer system or on a computer data storage medium, commits an offense under this act and shall be liable on conviction. In the cases of paragraphs A, B, and C, that's producing, offering, or distributing, to a term of 10 years, I told you it's a felony, 10 years or a fine not more than 20 million naira or both imprisonment and fine. And then in the case of paragraphs D and E, you'll be liable to 5 years or a fine not more than 10 million naira or both. So be warned, beware, don't fall a victim. And please, let's work together to make ensuring that our words and our children have safe spaces on the internet. Do not be a party. Do not be one of these people, please. Next provision, no, section 24, cyber stalking. 24 provides that any person who knowingly or intentionally sends a message or other matter by means of computer systems or network that is grossly offensive, pornographic, or of an indecent, obscene, or menacing character, or causes any such message or matter to be sent, or he knows to be false for the purpose of causing annoyance, inconvenience, danger, obstruction, insult, injury, God's name it all, commit an offense under this act and shall be liable to a fine of not more than 7 million naira imprisonment for a term of not more than 3 years. I believe that this section is self-explanatory, right? Subsection 2 provides that any person who knowingly or intentionally transmits or causes transmission of any communication through a computer system or network to bully, threaten, or harass another person, where such communication places another person in fear of death, violence, or bodily harm, or to another person, containing any threat to kidnap a person, containing any threat to harm the property or reputation of the addressee, commits a crime under this act. Now, this particular section addresses trolls on the internet. All you Twitter trolls, Instagram trolls, Facebook trolls, that's actually a crime under our laws, and you could be punished. No, you would be punished if you're charged and found guilty. So beware. Well, I can't go through all the provisions of the Cyber Crimes Act. So this act is made up of 59 sections, 8 parts, and 2 schedules. Now, the first schedule lists the Cybercrime Advisory Council, right? And then the second schedule lists businesses to be levied for the purpose of the Cyber Security Fund, which is provided under section 44 sub 2 paragraph A. And then the act in its coverage, right, covers critical infrastructure protection, computer related offenses, content related offenses, offenses against integrity, functionality, and confidentiality of systems and networks, procedural provisions, that's investigation, prosecution, and general enforcement, and then jurisdiction and international cooperation. So we're going to look at one major loophole that this act has. If you go through the provisions, you realize that the Cyber Crimes Act did not create an enforcement agency, which is shocking. I mean, how do you create a law, you know, that criminalizes internet crime and cyber crime, and then there's nobody established to criminalize those of to enforce the provisions of this law? It's never been done, right? If you look at all the laws that establish our law enforcement agencies. Okay, for instance, the EFCC Act, the NDLEA Act, and other laws, you will notice that with these laws came the establishment of agencies that were to enforce its provisions. When the Cyber Crimes Act came, there was no agency saddled with this responsibility. In fact, it placed the responsibility of enforcement upon all other agencies. And I'm like, why? Now, this is where the problem comes in. We know that the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, EFCC, is one of the agencies that have taken up the responsibility of ensuring that internet fraudsters and people who have been guilty of committing one form of fraud or the other are punished, duly punished by law, right? Now, what happens is that most times when officers of the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission make arrests, they are most times they tend to charge these people under the provisions of the EFCC Act and the Advanced Fee Fraud Act. And only in very rare cases do they make reference to the provisions of the Cybercrime Act. Why? Because it's really not their responsibility. And I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, if you were in their shoes, you would prefer to draft charges against someone under a law that you're familiar with. Now, they're not so familiar. Maybe they are familiar with the provisions of the Cybercrimes Act. I do not want to conclude, but I want to believe that they are more familiar with the provisions of the act that established them as an agency, and so they are more comfortable ensuring the enforcement of the provisions of those acts, which has now made the provisions of the Cybercrimes Act, in a way, I want to say, dormant. So we need an agency that would be saddled with the responsibility of ensuring that the provisions of this act are properly enforced, and not just leaving it to the hands of any agency in Nigeria, whenever they wake up and feel like enforcing its provisions. So we need that to be changed. I hope that the Cybercrime Act is amended to ensure that this is done, because we need it. In fact, it's a matter of urgency, if you may ask. And then another challenge or something that was worrisome in this act is that it had so many transactional provisions. And I'm wondering why is it so transactional? I mean, I feel like that should be looked into seriously. So for today, I think this is where I'm going to stop. I hope that we're able to look at the provisions of the Cybercrime Act for ourselves. It's really an interesting legislation, and I hope that in your quiet time you're able to download this, go on the website, just look at it. It's really a beautiful law, and I believe that you'll learn more. So in the spirit of cybersecurity awareness, I'm going to be ending this session with some tips on how to protect yourself while using the internet. And some of these tips seem normal, and you'd expect that everybody should know, so we just want to repeat them for you, and bring them back to your knowledge. Hackers are everywhere, and there's no system that cannot be hacked. That's one thing that you should know. The most protected systems in the world have been hacked. So I mean, what's our social media accounts and our bank accounts that cannot be hacked? So you have to have this knowledge, and then with this knowledge now, kindly ensure that you do not share your passwords. You use different passwords for your different accounts. Some people use one password for all their accounts, even their bank accounts, their mobile apps and all. That's not so safe. So you should always try to have passwords for different accounts. And then ensure that your passwords are not so easy. Some people have passwords of 12345 or ABCDEF, which is so easy to guess. Some people's passwords are their date of birth, which is also very risky. Yes, I want to tell you something. We have hackers everywhere. I've seen a common trend on social media where people come online and then they post questions like, put your date of birth, or you may find your birthday mate. And then sometimes they ask, what's your mother's maiden name? Let's do this for fun. What's your mother's maiden name? And then sometimes you see them ask questions like, what day were you born? You get. These are security questions that you shouldn't share with people outside. You have to be aware of these things. Most people come up under the guise of making jokes or trying to create fun on social media. Meanwhile, behind closed doors, they are gathering information about you. Now, they know your first name. They know your last name. Your mother's maiden name, which they should have struggled with, you've willingly given it to them easily, you know, because you're trying to interact and you're create fun. So please be careful of such posts or such tweets on social media. Be careful about the systems that you log into. If you log into a public system, ensure that you log out and you clear your browser before leaving the place. Ensure that you've logged out of all your accounts. Clear the browsers. Double check before you leave such systems. And then spread the news. We have hackers everywhere. Try to keep your information protected and private. So until next time, I'm your host. I will see you. Bye.